Today, I'm interviewing a previous client of mine, Josh Kruger. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Paul Miners Podcast, the show that will help you to optimize your time, income, and lifestyle fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and learn how to live life on your terms. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Paul Miners Podcast to episode number 154 and to another interview episode this week. Today I'm interviewing Josh Kruger, who is the founder and CEO of .com Design, a web development and digital marketing agency. And Josh is actually a client of mine. This is a first for the Paul Miners Podcast. I don't think I've ever had a client on the show before, but I wanted to get Josh on because I've worked with him and his team since about July. Had a great, just so far, a great time working with the team, and I wanted to get them on because, or Josh on, because I've helped him with the three main tools that I specialize in: Pipedrive, Asana, and Zapier. And Josh's goal when he approached me was, he said, I'm trying to scale my business. I want to be able to put systems in place that will allow my team, that will allow us to double the number of clients that we have, but with the same team that we have now. We need to be able to service double the clients without necessarily doubling the work. That was kind of his brief to me, and he was really open-minded to using the tools that I recommend, to using Zapier, and he's presented me with some real challenges as well. In terms of automation, he said, look, when this happens in Pipedrive, we want to do this and this and this, and this is on my wish list. Can we do it? And there's been a few times where I've been like, oh, I really don't know. And it's really pushed me to the limit. And I would say my understanding of Zapier has improved as a result of working with Josh. So I think that's exactly the kind of client and project that you want to work on. So I've really enjoyed working with Josh, and I really enjoyed this interview with him. I actually learned a couple of new things about him and just his background. So without further ado, please enjoy this interview. If you want to see the show notes for this episode, you can find them at paulminers.com/154. Without further ado, please enjoy this interview with Josh Kruger. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Paul Miners Podcast, and it's my pleasure today to welcome Josh Kruger onto the podcast. Josh, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me, Paul.
So Josh is the founder and CEO of .com Design, which is a website development and digital marketing agency, and actually has been a client of mine for the last couple of months. And I can't remember, Josh, if I told you in my email when we set up this call, but this, I believe, is the first time I've ever interviewed like a client of mine on the podcast. So yeah, this is a first.
Cool. Yeah, awesome.
And I think the kind of reason for that was just you working with you has been, yeah, a lot of fun. You obviously, we've worked on kind of all the tools that I mainly specialize in, so Asana, Pipedrive, Zapier. And yeah, like I think we were talking last week actually on a call, some of the requests that you've had in terms of automation and what you're trying to do have really helped me to push the boundaries of my understanding and force me to learn a bit more and really kind of test the limits of Zapier. So it's been a really sort of fun experience. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's funny. I know you appreciate this joke, but we've now kind of got this running joke of like, how can Paul work his voodoo here on this situation, right? So yeah, it's been fun. We've enjoyed working with you for sure. I know that the team, and pretty much anytime anybody asks me anything about systems or processes or automation, your name certainly comes up. So appreciate what you've done.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Yeah. That's good to hear. Well, why don't we start with a bit of an intro? I'd love to sort of, because actually we've never dug into this really on our calls, but I'd love to get a bit more about your background, where you've come from, and kind of how .com Design came about.
Sure. So I've actually been in the digital marketing space now for, gosh, about a decade and a half. So I'll maybe run this back even just a little bit further so you can kind of understand where I come from. But I think by nature, I'm actually more of a sales guy. So I've always enjoyed, building relationships and shaking hands and, sort of the grind of, selling, right? The chase and the hunt. And so I was attending the University of Iowa. It's actually in my final semester, and you'll probably laugh when I share this, but it's in my final semester, and I was doing an internship. I was actually selling medical equipment. I was selling like defibrillators and first aid supplies. And I learned pretty quick that, like, hey, I'm actually pretty good at this selling thing. And it didn't take long for my buddies and I, my buddies at that time had already graduated from college, to sort of compare paychecks. And I learned pretty quick that I was going to make far more money selling than any of my friends with degrees. So with like 12 credit hours to go, I actually dropped out of college and decided I was just going to be a salesperson for a living. So after my internship had wrapped up, I was actually selling for a startup company. And they had basically had a round of capital or a round of investments that had fallen through. And so they were going to have to let a group of us go that were selling for them. But it just so happened the CFO of that company was brothers with another really large, he was the president of a really large digital marketing agency. So he basically reached out and just said, hey, you should talk to this guy, give him an opportunity. So I pretty much just walked in over there and started selling for them. So I started selling for them, back in maybe what, 2008, selling digital marketing, and I fell in love, right? I mean, anything from websites to like stuff in the targeted marketing space or just anything related to digital marketing. And I did that for, 9 years? And then just learned that there were in this world, in the digital marketing space, there were a lot of people just handing out empty promises. And so we just thought, you know what, we can do it better. And so it started sort of a side hustle, learned how to code and develop websites on my own. I'd always sort of had this like side passion for graphic design. So I kind of understood how things should look. I maybe lacked some of the execution, but I understood like composition and understood like what graphics were compelling and would move like what sort of things would move people to action. So started an agency back in, that would now have been 4.5 years ago. So started doing 4.5 years ago. And then basically in January of 2018, left my job, and this became sort of the full-time gig. So.
That's awesome. And so, and just so that we have a bit more context, like, and what are the main, within digital, digital marketing, what are the main sort of functions or services that you're providing now? I mean, because you said, what were your words? Like, there were some empty promises that you found were being delivered. Like, what were those empty promises, and kind of how are you delivering on those better now?
Yeah. Well, so we learned that there was a large gap between what like these sales people and the companies they were selling for, sort of what they would say, like, could or should happen if you buy product X, right? And I don't think it's just necessarily applicable to my business or industry. I think that's happening really everywhere. We just had seen an opportunity to come in and basically eliminate the fluff and filler from these packages. But then also saw an opportunity, and I think we'll maybe get into this a little bit later, but like an opportunity to like build and develop relationships, right? Like good, nice, long-term relationships. Alongside of that, though, we just saw an opportunity to like truly get in and help these entrepreneurs to build successful companies. And I think that's maybe where my heart truly is. Like, yeah. I think digital marketing is, and website development is probably just like a byproduct of that.
Yeah.
I really just love the entrepreneurial world. You know, anything where a dollar is being exchanged or there's like product or service exchanging hands. I've just always kind of loved that. So
it's actually,
I don't know if I answered your question, but
no, you did. It's actually very similar to, I guess, my thinking as well. Like I did a commerce degree at university, did marketing. But really I just enjoy, like you, entrepreneurship and sort of building relationships. And I've actually come to really enjoy sales as well, or even more than sales, like just the relationship aspect. I used to, mm-hmm. I think, you know, growing up, you think, oh, sales, it's kind of this sleazy thing. You just have that image of the used car salesman. But I've actually come to realize that actually, for me, the enjoyable part is, like you said, building the relationships and figuring out how to help someone and build a help them to build a better business. You are doing that through digital marketing. Yep. I'm doing it slightly differently through the different tools and systems.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's cool.
And I really agree with what you said about not overpromising. In fact, that's sort of a philosophy I've really tried to follow. When I have like a first call with somebody and I'm learning about what someone needs, if somebody says something that I feel like, ooh, I don't know about that, I'll be very upfront very quickly about, I don't think I can do that part. Like, I'm not a developer. Yeah. I can't do that bit. This is what I can do. This is what I can't do. And I've always just tried to be very candid and honest with my abilities just so that you aren't overpromising. I think otherwise, if you are too focused on just getting the sale, it's easy to just say, yeah, sure, I can do that and figure it out later. You could get into some problems.
Yeah, so true. We actually talk about that in-house often, right? There's this, and I think this is what we've been able to capitalize on. I carefully will say this because I don't know, like, I do think we have a better product. We offer a better service, but I think the true, like, what's truly being, like, what's truly absent in most of these businesses, like similar to yours or to mine, is exactly that. Cause you've got, and I'll usually draw this as like an illustration, but you've got like everything that's being promised as sort of like this horizontal line on a graph. And then maybe like six rungs down from that, you have like reality, right? And everything in between that is discontentment and customers that aren't satisfied. And so what we've tried to do is just close the gap, kind of like you'd mentioned, where we basically just said, hey, these are the more realistic timelines, right? And really just sort of help to unpack that with people. So,
yeah, nah, it's funny that having this conversation now, realizing sort of how similar we are. So moving on then, what we've obviously, like I said at the start, we've worked on Asana, Pipedrive, and Zapier, kind of the three main tools that we've focused our time on. Do you remember how you discovered these tools and maybe why you picked them over other similar tools in the first place?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I guess there's a longer story to this, but essentially what we set out to do initially, and I think I quickly realized this was a pipe dream. We tried to get all of our systems under one roof, right? Like in a utopian scenario, I thought if I could have my entire business under one platform, like how great would that be?
Yeah.
Right. And we actually set out and we started with, like, we signed big contracts with a lot of these like really large CRMs, that have like major clout in the space.
Yeah.
And, like we worked with like really expensive engineers and, like we spent buku bucks with probably two or three of the top CRMs today that everyone always talks about. And we ended up figuring out like, this isn't going to work. Just everything was very clunky and was going to require just tens of thousands of dollars to get it customized. And prior to actually doing that, we were using Asana on a very basic level. I think what we learned though is that platform is like far more powerful than we had initially thought. And so I think the reason we landed on Asana and Pipedrive was just we kind of realized that those two platforms were going to really do everything we talked about, right? I think all businesses have sort of two sides to it, right? They have like the acquisition side and they have the product fulfillment side. And I think it dawned on me that, hey, you don't have to have like one platform to handle all of that. But if you have platforms that are like really good for each of those departments or avenues, right, the acquisition and the fulfillment side, that we will be okay. And then just figuring out, like we weren't really using Zapier, honestly, that was kind of a Paul thing. but we quickly realized that that tool is going to then allow us to make the connection, right? So the right hand would now start speaking to the left. So it was a big, long, ugly journey to figure out that, you know, Asana and Pipedrive could work, but we just needed a specialist like yourself to really help us to unlock the power and potential of those platforms, because they are very robust tools that have tons of bells and whistles. Just a matter of like figuring out what's going to work best for us. So
yeah, it's something I hear all the time, is people want to have something that, like one tool, like you said, like an everything tool that you can just run your entire business out of. And maybe there's something good out there, or with enough custom development, you could hack something together to really work for you. But I've always thought that Pipedrive and Asana are each independently really good at what they do. Like Pipedrive, which, and for those that aren't fully aware, Pipedrive is like the CRM, like Josh said, it's the acquisition part. So you get a new lead, you're selling to somebody, you're managing that process in Pipedrive, all that follow-up, it's got all that reporting. And I think the thing that works particularly well for you is you've got certain people on your team that their job is just sales. They actually only need to know about Pipedrive. And then when you get that client, we've done some automation to move information over to Asana. And then you've got a different set of people that really, they only really need to use Asana. They're not really working in that sales aspect. So from the team adoption standpoint, you just need to train people on the particular tool and functions that they need to, you know how to use. And as long as we've integrated the two, it can work quite well. And I think I quite like doing that. Yes, you are trading off a little bit of, I don't know what word I'm looking for, maybe simplicity, I guess, because you're having to use two different tools. I have seen people try and use Pipedrive for sales and project management, and I have seen people use Asana for sales and project management. And there are ways you can do that, but I think if you can create a nice harmonious system, which is kind of what you've done, what I've got in my business, I think it works really well, and you're using the right tool for the right job, which I think there's a lot of benefit to that. Yeah.
I think that's like, that set me free, right? Use the right tool for the right job. That couldn't be more true. Like, everybody wants the Swiss Army knife, right? A Swiss Army knife, but it just, it's not as good as like you said, like the right tool would be for the right platform. So I think that's key for everybody to know going into like trying to figure out how can they make, like, create some cohesion and some systems and processes inside their business. So that's really good.
I'm going to steal that metaphor, I think, because the Swiss Army knife is great because it has that tiny little scissors on it. You could cut you can cut paper with this, but it's way easier to use a proper pair of scissors.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah. So with other tools that you've looked at, outside of the three that we've talked about, do you have a way that you being the business owner, the founder, like obviously you want to carefully evaluate what's going to work well for the team, what's going to be easy to adopt. Do you have a way that you've tried to evaluate different tools so that, you don't waste time and money in the wrong thing?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've actually been trying to think through that a little bit. I think here's kind of where I landed. I think it is key that business owners figure out, I think you have to pick a tool based on the desired outcome of your business and not pick a, like, don't pick the tool. And I guess I got to maybe think through how I still would phrase this, but I don't think you can pick, like, the tool has to be picked based on your business and not vice versa, right? Like, the tool that you select has to, it shouldn't make you change your process. It should just fit like a glove, right? Like, it should be a glove and not like an oversized mitten, I guess is kind of what I'm getting at.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think with us, when we evaluate tools, it's now no longer like, oh, is this tool cool? And, like, what bells and whistles does it have?
Yeah.
But we've instead said, hey, what is the desired outcome? Like, if we were going to run this business like it was 1920, we didn't have computers and technology, right? Like, we're doing this stuff on paper with ink pens. What is the desired outcome of this situation, right? Like, if we have a salesperson, like, what things do we want them to be able to do, right? And then it's back to something we learned in grade school, where you create a list of, you start evaluating these platforms and you say, okay, which of these like checks the most boxes? And I think you have those on a list, like in priority of importance, right? Like, these are our non-negotiables. These are the things that we have to have happen. This is the desired outcome. And then I think you reverse engineer that blueprint to say, hey, like, these platforms check those boxes. Like, they're not a Swiss Army knife. Like it's the right tool for what we're trying to do. So.
Yeah, you touch on something really good, like not getting sucked in by the shiny features of a product. So a good example, I think, is like looking at how you guys use Asana is really great, because you with the team that you have and the nature of the client work that you do, you use arguably more of the features of Asana than I do, because you use things like the portfolios, which is this nice dashboard of all the clients you're working on, and watching Lindsay like posting the status updates, which I get the notifications about, is really great. Yeah. And I love that actually seeing that you guys use it properly. That's a feature of Asana that I don't use, because I'm more of like a much smaller operation. I don't have a requirement to use those features. And so for me, sometimes I see clients using tools and I'm like, oh, I wish I could use that. Portfolios look so fun, but I don't need to. Like, there's no point. There's no point. And that's something I've said about Asana a few times to clients, is like, it's a nice simple tool you can get started with. I think maybe even you said this at one point. You can sort of get started with it quite simply, and it can grow with you, and you can use the more advanced features like the timeline and templates and portfolios later when you need to, but it can kind of, you can actually be very simple with it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I think my favorite part about like the transition that we've made is like one simple thing is, and we actually get asked this question a lot, because I meet with like different networks of entrepreneurs, and I don't say this like to my own horn, but we get this compliment often from people, and they're always asking the question, how do you guys get so much stuff done? You know, like this one particular group we work with, like when we come out of this meeting, we usually will give ourselves like our own list of to-dos, like, all right, from this meeting till the next time we meet, like, here are the things I'm going to do. And quite often our list is larger, more robust, with more moving parts than like anybody else. And I think the thing that's changed for us is, it's really simple. It's not anything fancy. There's no bell and whistle that unlocked this, but it was a mindset change in terms of we no longer just work, but our work has now just become like laser focused by us now working through tasks. I think the power of like working through tasks and having your dialogue inside of those tasks is just, it is so incredibly powerful. It just creates this like, and somebody actually shared this. I have this like illustration in my head now, when I think of Asana and I think of focus, people talk about the sun, like the sun, I picture the sun as like, it's actually one of the most powerful, as like one of the most powerful outputs of energy of anything, in our universe. Mm. Right. But if you go stand in the sun for a couple of hours, like the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to get a sunburn, right? Well, if you go stand in front of a laser, right? Laser, far less energy output than the sun, but it's got such a like high concentration of energy that it's just going to cut right through you. And so I picture Asana as like a laser and some of these other like project management tools as the sun, where Asana, again, it just creates this like laser focus where everybody has like very clear instructions on like, hey dude, these are the things you need to go do. Like, these are the boxes you're going to check. And there's just no uncertainty around, like, everyone always talks about like simplicity equals efficiency, right? Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how true that's been with Asana and Pipedrive. So.
Yeah, I just completely agree. I think the nice thing about Asana is it forces you to be very focused on tasks. And I actually wrote about this on my blog, about, it makes you more task centric. And I was saying to someone yesterday, a team in Australia who I was working with, and they were asking, you know, how do I communicate in Asana? If I just want to talk to these two people, how would I do that? You know, how can I start up like a conversation? And I said, well, what you really need to do is create a task. Because generally communication happens in Asana inside a task. We comment on a task. You could comment on the project as well, but generally it's happening inside a task. So the benefit of that is it forces you to think about, well, okay, we're wanting to have this conversation, but what's the question we're trying to answer or the decision we're trying to make? And so you create that task or that action. You can then talk about it, go back and forth, and then if you reach a conclusion, you can mark it off. And just that, they then realize, oh, okay, that's actually really interesting. So they sort of started to understand, it's actually forcing us to think actually about what do we need to do instead of just having a random conversation.
Totally. Well, it also forces you to look at your processes in a very granular fashion, right? It puts your whole process under a microscope, because it allows you to identify what are the gaps in our process. And it takes time, right? It takes work. But what's nice is once you've been able to sort of like blueprint your process, even from the initial word go, you quickly realize like, oh crap, like this one thing continues to fall through the cracks, or like there's this one issue that continues to happen without having your actual process blueprinted, or like everything from like product being sold to product and billing and fulfilled. Like you wouldn't know that unless you had this series of tasks, and then the tasks being like someone being held accountable to those, yeah, because it's now assigned to somebody. So it's a beautiful thing.
Mm. And I want to come back to something you said earlier. You said about simplicity and how just keeping it simple has been very, just incredibly valuable to you. I've noticed that like a few times when we've worked together, you've opted for like the simpler option. I often come to you with a few options and say, look, we could do, you know, in terms of the process we're talking about, we could automate it like this, we could do this. And you've often gone for the simpler option, is something I've observed. So when you think about processes in your business, why do you go for simpler? And I don't know if that's like an obvious question, but what is it that kind of makes you think that way, or why is simpler better?
That's a great question. I think it is a pretty obvious answer. I think we live in this world now where like everybody thinks that in order to succeed, you have to have like this flashy new tech business that sells for $2 billion, right? Like I always just picture that in my head, and I don't think you have to, you know, I think like if you want to have like make a good living for yourself and have a good life, I think part of that goes back to like you can have a simple business, and in order to have like people working inside of that business efficiently, I think there has to be like clarity around what exactly is it that I'm supposed to do. And I think I joked with you about this when we first met. I always tell everybody, I said, God's greatest gift to me was he gave me the comprehension skill of a 3-year-old, right? Like it sounds so weird to say that.
Yeah.
But it's good, because I think what happens now is I have to understand things in a way where I then regurgitate that. You're going to go, okay, like I totally get how to do that.
Yeah.
But I think through like any time I've ever been like handcuffed, or, you know, I've moved to a position of like, gosh, what am I going to do? It's always like information overload, or you don't understand what it is you should do. So I do think it's an obvious answer. I just purely think that simplicity is a byproduct of efficiency. And I think like the two work together. So I don't know. I don't have a great answer for you around that, but I think a lot of it has to do with just like how I process things. And I know like I'm far more productive when things are just spelled out and it says like, hey, again, check the box.
Yeah. I mean, and the way I look at it is like, how do I put this? I think just why make something more complicated than it needs to be? So the way we've typically troubleshooted something is you've said, Paul, how do we want to have, okay, when we update and some information in Pipedrive, copy that across to Asana. And there might be a few different ways we could do that, but let's try and, what is the simplest way we can make it work? The simple means, you know, fewer moving parts, less room for human error. How can we just make it really kind of idiot proof? Because one of the goals that you mentioned, I think, when we first started working together, is like you want to scale like a really like a business that you can work with. I don't know what you said at the time, but maybe like double the volume of clients with the same team that you have now. The only way to do that is to create really efficient systems that allow you to scale, but don't necessarily double the workload of the team. Yeah, I think that's something I've always tried to have in mind as we've worked together, is like keeping things really simple, fewer moving parts, like and I think having that lens to look at things through, like, okay, we're building this system now. Is it still going to work? And it's working for the team now, actually. I'm trying to think of the example we had. It was something to do with the calendar we were doing. It would work for the team now, but is it actually going to work if we had double the number of clients?
Right.
And so I think having that lens has been really useful through which to kind of work on these things. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's good.
So as a business owner, like one of the challenges I hear a lot is, you know, finding the time to work on your business instead of in the business. And I'd say we could easily categorize the work that we've done, you know, working on Asana, these systems, it's a lot, that's mainly focusing on the business and working on how do we make the processes and systems more efficient. How have you, maybe outside of the work, or actually, you know, I suppose it relevant to the work that we've done or other things that you do, how do you overcome that challenge? Because I deal with this as well, is like I can get very sucked into just the day-to-day grind of working with clients, and it can be hard to carve out that time to work on your business and make, you know, strategize and think big picture. How have you sort of dealt with that challenge in the past?
So I actually maybe 8 months ago, 9 months ago, it's probably longer than that now, I got pretty intentional about this, right? Like, again, simple. This is a really simple concept. This is something I told myself, hey, like both things have to happen, right? I'm early enough along where, and maybe this is always the case. Like, I think like people like you and I are always going to have our hand in the business. We're not ever going to disconnect from that and be like fully working just on the business. But I went on to Amazon and I bought a clock. It's about a 3 foot long by 1 foot high. It's like a big, it's almost like a scoreboard type clock like you'd see in a gymnasium. And I got a remote that's Velcroed to my desk. And I've basically structured my week into pockets of time. And I'll get as crazy as, okay, I've got a 60 minute window to work on the business, and here's the things that I'm going to work on in that window. And I literally press play on this button and the timer starts and it begins to tick down. And when the timer goes off, I shut down what I'm doing and I'll go work on something else. So it sounds like a really simple concept, but essentially what I've done is just gotten really intentional about saying, okay, if I'm ever going to be able to step back and work on the business, I've got to be intentional about making that a priority, and I have to slot time into my week in order for that to happen. And then it's just a matter of like creating, you know, the habit and being disciplined enough to, you know, that alert goes off in your calendar that says, hey, it's time to work on this one thing and not in this one thing that, you know, you close. And I tell my people this all the time, like, hey, when you're working on that thing, like, close out of your email and close out of Asana and close out of things that are going to sidetrack you, right? Because we're just, I think that is a challenge today, right? Like, I've even had to go as far as like, I have no notifications now turned on my phone. Like, none of my apps have notifications turned on because we're constantly like, ooh, here's a notification, and ooh, here's a notification, and oh, let me go check this out, and oh, let me go chat with this person. And so I think it really just takes some intentionality around saying, like, this is the thing I'm doing. This is the thing I'm going to work on. And anything that could create noise while I'm working on that, I'm shutting it off. I'm going to like create a situation and a scenario for myself to go succeed and go get that one thing done. So
that's really cool. Yeah. I mean, 'cause I've heard people, you know, they blocking out the time on the calendar is the typical answer I hear is like, and I've talked about this, like on Wednesdays, I try and not do any client work on Wednesdays so that I have a day where I can get deep into some of my own projects. But I really like that having the scoreboard or the clock is like a very tangible way you can almost, like having it on your calendar is good, but it could be easy to ignore or just kind of break for that habit. Having the scoreboard is kind of like, like just a really nice tangible thing that I guess can helps you to, I guess, just get into that mindset. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been good for me. I've actually shared that with a few others that have done that. I think the key though is like, it could easily turn into the notification on your calendar. I think it truly has to do with like being able to make the decision of, hey, this is what I'm gonna do, and then being able to figure out how can you now actually go do that thing.
Yeah. So, and you used a really good keyword, which is just discipline. And often people ask me like, how do I, you know, get into the habit of doing this better in Asana or something, like, you know, checking the My Tasks or checking the inbox. And I you know, I can tell you, oh, set a reminder on your phone and all this stuff. But really, I just say, look, it just comes down to discipline. Like, if this stuff is important to you, if you really want to succeed with this, you've just got to be disciplined with yourself, mm-hmm. which means, yeah, yep. turning off the notifications, shutting down email, holding yourself to a high standard. So mm-hmm. much, I think, of just being productive and getting into these good routines is just personal discipline. Yeah. It's people.
You
often,
know, I actually go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to finish by saying, well, I think people so often are looking for like a secret bullet. Like, what's the feature in Asana that's going to help me magically use the tool better? It's like, well, there is no shiny feature like we were kind of talking about earlier. It's just, yeah, sorry. It just comes back to discipline. Like, you've just got to take it right. seriously with yourself and hold yourself to a high standard. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's good. You know, I think it actually, this is like a total rabbit trail. I'm so good at this. It would, somebody should almost create a platform or an app for that, right? Like, that, call it Focus. I mean, you get some cheesy name, but like, you basically go in and you set up your calendar. Hey, this is how I would like for my week to go. And then your computer just only lets you do that, right? Like, so sorry, you said you wanted to spend an hour in Asana checking your inbox. Like, that's the only thing that's unlocked on your computer for that pocket yeah, time. Yeah. Like, I think something like that would be kind of fun.
Yeah, I guess there are similar tools that help you, like block certain websites and things. But I think like a more extreme version.
Right?
Yeah, like a more extreme version, I think, is what you're talking about, isn't it?
Sure. I guess I didn't even know there was anything out there that existed like that.
Oh, yeah. There are tools that will like block certain websites. Like, you can't go on Facebook during these hours. Or I think there are tools that maybe do it with certain apps. Like, you can't open this app. I'm sure there's stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. But I think what you're talking about is an even more extreme version. Like, okay, everything is blocked except like the Asana inbox. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious as well, and this is not to, I guess, like, have you blow smoke up my ass, but like, with the work that we've done, do you have like a favorite, I'm thinking of Zapier, like a favorite Zap that makes you just really happy when it happens, or like something you're just like, oh my God, that's just saved so much time. So I'll go with an example from me personally is like, people typically find me on YouTube, they go to my site, they click on, I want to book a call with Paul, and everything just sort of happens by magic. I have a Zap now that does things like, it creates a contact and a deal in Pipedrive, it sets up activities for me and my assistant, it will even ping proof, which is like a social, like a notification thing on my website. It will, I can't remember if it maybe adds people to my list or not. Like, there's just so much stuff that happens in the background. And so instead of me manually having to do all that when somebody books a call, just a bunch of stuff just happens and I just get an email in my inbox, and I just kind of have the satisfaction of knowing that technology has handled all this for me, which is great. Do you have any examples of like things like that that you've found to just be particularly useful or just satisfying?
Yeah, I do. The one that I love the most, and it has several moving parts to it, but it was, again, getting the right hand to talk to the left. I think that there's a Zap there that you created that has been critical in making that happen, right? So essentially what you've done is salesperson creates a deal, they fill out the details of that, right? Like, and even there are even like so many little efficiencies that you've created inside of this one Zap, where it feels like there's Zaps on Zaps on Zaps, right?
Yeah.
But so we've got like certain things pinned where it's, you've kind of bulletproofed this, where you've said, hey, dum-dum, don't forget to fill out these five things before you move to the next step. So sales rep fills out the stuff, they click on one. You also then have tied into the Zap, that Jot form. So we're using Jot form is like it's essentially, I don't even know how, you maybe can explain Jot form better than I could, but it's basically a form, right? It's like a digital form. And upon then filling out that form, you then have like, again, the left hand speaks to the right. And we then have like a whole series of things that are created inside of Asana to then get that project kicked off. I know that's been game changing for us. So we've been able to like template our process, and then, you know, through three or four clicks of a button, we've been able to launch entirely new projects. And what would have taken us a half a day before or longer can now happen in 5 minutes. So it's crazy.
Yeah. I was thinking yesterday, Lindsay, who is one of Josh's colleagues, was she was asking me to do a zap where, what was it? When a task in Asana is completed, and this is actually a key milestone on a project where like the website for the client is now live. Somebody would tick that milestone as complete. The website's now live. That's great. That's a big significant milestone. That then triggers, it updates Pipedrive to say this is the date that the website went live, which is great. And it actually updates a field that we have, which is to say that we now need to bill. I then realized that zap is going to trigger another zap, which then tells you, and it kicks off all this whole billing process that needs to start. And so I was just putting it together yesterday, and I realized, oh, we're going to have like a chain reaction of zaps now. It's going to be quite fun.
As I said, zaps on zaps on zaps. That's a real thing.
Yeah. Cool. So I guess like final question here. So with what we've done, like, you know, we've using these tools and automation, it's kind of the way the world is going. Like, how do you see maybe your industry changing as technology and things like automation develop? So like, we've kind of seen a bit already. Websites are just easier to develop now. Like you talked about, you learned to code years ago. I can't write any code. I know some basic HTML and CSS, but like my website's all on WordPress, and you've got tools like Squarespace that make it easier to make websites. You've got AI and automation that maybe means, I don't know, like in the future, will AI mean you don't even need to manage your own Google ads? Will AI just do it for you? I'm just guessing here, but like how do you see your industry changing as technology and automation kind of gets better?
That's a great question. And like I said, you have to remember who you're talking to here, like third grade comprehension guy. So yeah. Very linear, very much like, how can I conquer the next 12 hours? Now, that being said, I don't, I'm not totally oblivious to like where things are going, right? When we're looking at exit strategies and how do we stay on the cutting edge? Like that's a real question. I think there are a couple things that hold true to what we do. And I think this is also like, this will be true of any business as we move forward. There's one thing I think, and there may be a few others, but one thing that like something like AI and automation can never replace. And that's relationships.
Yeah.
I think that as we move forward, and we've already seen this, right? Like I think technology, has sort of begun to desensitize us a little bit. And I think that we as humans have this hunger and craving more than we've ever had it before to just like be with other humans and to have relationship with people. And I don't think AI and automation will ever outrun that. And not to say like, hey, people won't make the dollar and cents decision to like, hey, no, I'm not going to have you build my website. I can have a robot do it. I do think there are going to be certain things. And again, I don't fully understand AI and how it works. You know, I think like AI at its peak essentially has like, it has thoughts and feelings, right? And it can like learn and develop new lines of thinking, right? So yeah, I think obviously AI at its most advanced peak has everybody in their current industry trembling. So I think, you know,
I think we're talking about Hollywood level sort of AI.
Right.
iRobot kind of.
Right. I personally think that's way further off than people actually are leading us to believe.
But no, I agree. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I think there are forms of AI, but like when they say artificial intelligence, you know, like I still think we're very far off from actually arriving at that. So I do think though, in my world, even just simple things about like with us thinking about, hey, how are relationships going to matter? We're all in the people business, right? I think we all need to be mindful around not what does our product and service do for people, but how does it make them feel? And I think people could do a better job of talking about their why and the why between like behind their product and service. And I think like for us, even from like an ad campaign perspective, you know, you could look at like Google Ads and say, hey, yeah, AI will phase that out. I do think though forever, you will need people to help write like ad copy.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I think there are narratives and there are messaging and there are creatives that people can generate that make you feel a certain way. And again, I think for AI to be able to do that, and for that to have like an evolutionary component, because certain words today are going to make people feel a certain way, but in 10 years, they'll make them feel a different way, right? So I don't know. That's a really big, complex question. We could have probably spent this whole hour just talking about that, to be quite honest. But I don't know. I'm more of like a, I've got a 1-year plan, a 3-year plan, and a 5-year plan. I think AI lives outside of my 5-year plan, so I'm not overly worried about that. I think anybody in business needs to focus more on the relationships, both inside their walls and then the relationships externally as well. And I think if you recognize you're in the people business, and like if you figure out, hey, how can I make an impact on somebody's life, right? How can I add value to that person's life? I think there will always be a product and service that can trade hands where you can make money. You know, like there's always going to be ways to make money, but I think if you're thinking like bigger picture about impact and relationships, and your heart is in that, I don't think there's ever going to be any AI or automation or technology that's going to have you on a bus without a seat. So
I agree. And I heard a similar answer. I can't remember the podcast I was listening to, but I think they were saying with automation and AI, like that, at least in the short term, is definitely not going to replace creative pursuits like copywriting, like you said, or graphic design. Language and words have a certain meaning today versus they might mean different things in a few years, and you know, it's very hard for a computer to know what images and colors are going to result in a certain emotion for people. So I think those more creative pursuits are definitely at least protected for the time being until AI gets a lot smarter. And I agree. I think we're still pretty far away. You look at Siri and Google Home and they're still pretty basic. You still get the basics wrong.
Well, and even look at your world. Like I think AI is still even like, I think like people who are in technology and automation, like I do think there are certain industries where AI would be closer to replacing. But even based on what you do, I think what you do is a perfect example to show you that AI is like really far away from like replacing anybody, because what you do is like you create this highly, highly customized vehicle for everybody. You know, like my business, you could argue is the same as, gosh, thousands of other agencies here in the States, right? Like you could easily make that argument, but the reality is it's actually not. Like what we do and the people we have and the people we want to target and the geos that we're in, like it's just so different, right? So I think that level of customization, I think, is going to sort of handcuff AI. I think there are certain like streamlined processes that AI would be a good fit for, you know, but I think we're all way more protected than these people developing AI maybe lead us on to believe.
I think right now it's just more of a buzzword than anything.
100%. Yeah, you're right on the money.
Yeah. Well, Josh, this has been it's been great talking to you today and kind of learning more about your background. One more time, it's just been great working with you the last couple of months. As we wrap up, where would any final thoughts for the audience, or if people want to learn more about .com Design and getting in touch with you guys, where should they go?
Well, they could pop over to our website, which is just dotcomdesign.com. That's spelled dotcom, and then design, which is design, and then your traditional .com, so a period com, so .comdesign.com. So they could pop over there if they wanted to check us out. All our contact information is on the website. So no hard plug for us. I think the hard plug would be for you, Paul. anybody who is even remotely entertaining Asana or Pipedrive or Zapier, or who is even maybe on a more primitive level looking to create efficiency inside of their business. I think you are like as close to brilliant of anybody I've met with and encountered, not just in like the 4.5 years of .com design, but in my entire entrepreneurial venture. So you've been great to work with. You're a great listener, but you're also, I think, like probably one of the best problem solvers of anybody I've met. So it's almost sort of a, I don't want to say a shame, but like Asana and Pipe Drive, I don't know if they even know how lucky they are to have a guy like you behind their product. I think the potential with you is unlimited. So anybody looking to create like efficient systems and like simplify workflows and processes and just, you know, make things easier on yourself and the people you work with, like they'd be silly not to to at least connect with you and see what you're all about. So thank you for what you've done.
Oh, thank you. That's a very generous sentiment. Just thank you a lot. It's obviously very nice words to hear. No, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much for listening to the Paul Miners podcast. Two quick things before I go. Firstly, if you enjoyed this episode or if you have any feedback, please leave me a review on iTunes. It really does mean a lot to me because it helps the show to get discovered so that more people can benefit from the content. And I would love your help getting the show out there. So please, if you have a minute, I would love a review on iTunes. And on that note, if you want to give me any more feedback, you can always reach out to me via my blog, leave me a comment, or if you're on my newsletter list, you can respond to any of my emails as well. I really do love hearing from my listeners and hearing what you want to learn about and getting your feedback. Number two, if you want to connect with me on a more regular basis, you can become a VIP member of my website. Head to paulminers.com/VIP to learn about my membership options and how to get access to my private Slack community. This has typically been reserved for my high-end customers in the past, but I've opened it up for the first time. So head on over to the website, paulminers.com/VIP, to learn how you can get access to my private Slack channel, where you'll also get access to my complete library of book summaries as well. One more time, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners podcast.